So Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48. And I've titled this morning, To Be Whole. W-H-O-L-E. To be whole. And we're going to have a look at just a few verses at Jesus' incredible Sermon on the Mount. Possibly one of the most famous sermons ever. Jesus is sharing with his hearers at the time, and still us today in 2024, what it is like to live as God has called us to live. Some of what Jesus says, though, as you'd expect as we've come to know Jesus, is quite counterculture. None more so, in essence, than this really short extract that we're going to have a look today at in Matthew chapter 5. And this piece in my Bible, which is an NIV translation, has a subheading of Love Your Enemies. Sounds simple. Or maybe it doesn't sound simple. Love your enemies. And straight away then, his Jewish crowd would be uneasy. And so too us today. That it's not an easy route to take, is it? To love one's enemy. So let's read the text and then I will pray and we'll see what the Lord has got to say to us today, that we might have attentive ears ready to listen, hearts ready to be taught by what the Lord's got to say. So it says this, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on evil and the good, and sends rain on righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you this morning for your word, and we ask, Lord God, that you would just speak to us through it. Father, that we would have hearts and minds ready to receive what you've got to say to us. Father, that you'd speak to us through the word. Father, that you'd use me this morning to deliver your message to us, the church. And Lord, that we might be blessed and encouraged by what you've got to say to us this morning, that our eyes and our ears, that our hearts might be opened, ready to do as what you've called us to do. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So Jesus then begins with an extract from Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Who loves the book of Leviticus? Wow, the show of hands was a lot slower than I expected. No, it wasn't. Leviticus, if you've ever read through Leviticus and Levitical law, it's quite a trip. And it really is quite a process to get through what the Lord has laid down here for Israel and the laws that were in place and the reasons and the whys and the therefores in order that they could become a people that were going to be safe and were going to survive. Essentially, God is laying out for Israel how to live. That sounds daft, doesn't it? But in these times, right at the beginning, it's very difficult to know what's right, what's wrong, what's benefit of it for you, what's not benefit for you. We have the joys now of modern science, and we can find out whether these things are going to poison us or not. If we cook pork really badly, we'll be ill. Anybody been ill from undercooked pork? It's not a good process. And God lays out in Levitical law so many different things around how to live and how to survive, essentially, for Israel. But in Leviticus 19 and verse 18, and 19 is, the whole chapter is detailed various laws. Don't we love a law? I feel like, yes, Police Officer Joel. Mr. Baker, sir, detective, what is it? What are you, John? What is it, just police officer? Police officer, P.O. Joel Baker. Be aware, church. There are various laws. Joel knows them all. But in this chapter here, in this verse specifically, verse 18 of chapter 19, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. And we see there, capital L-O-R-D, if you've got the Bible in front of you, up on the screen, that is Yahweh, okay? There it is. Is it not capitalised? Oh, well, shame on you and the translation. It's Yahweh, okay? So do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. So God is laying out here what he requires of his people. And as Jesus shares this now with the Jewish crowd around about him, we start to see that actually what we've got in Leviticus is relative to the Jewish people. You see how the phrase is among your people. So here a neighbour is just that. Somebody that is in the same group as you. And in this instance, Israelites, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. That's what we see in Leviticus. And Jesus, back here in Matthew chapter 5, says, you've heard it said, love your enemy and love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But in actual fact, we don't actually see hate your enemy anywhere in the Old Testament at all. But rather it's a conclusion, if you like, not mentioned in the Old Testament, but a conclusion of how God told them to drive out the Canaanites from the land that he promised them. And God, of course, did just that, said to them to drive out the Canaanites so that he would ensure that these people didn't get infiltrated, if you like, with false gods, with false idols. So God's motivation for driving or telling the Israelites to drive the Canaanites out of the land was that if they stay in the land, Israel, you'll fail. And in actual fact, we see that time and time and time again throughout the Old Testament. When God says, look, you've got to eradicate these people, you've got to drive them out, else otherwise, Israel, you'll fall flat on your face. So God's saying, love your neighbour, those around about you, those that are yours, and in essence, in conclusion, hate your enemy, drive them out. You don't want them anywhere near you because you'll fail. He was protecting a fledgling nation. Yet now, Jesus, God in flesh, is flipping all of that on its head. Jesus is now saying, love your neighbour. And that they'd understand Leviticus, but Jesus says this in verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now you can see straight away how Jesus' teaching to this Jewish nation would be absolutely controversial. But that's not what we've been taught. That's not what's written down. And Jesus saying, it is what's written down. There was a time, and now we have come to this place where now we are going to start to love those around about us. Jesus is now turning all of that on its head, that they're going to love people far beyond their Jewish community. And this, as I say, is completely and utterly outrageous teaching. If someone isn't from here, doesn't look like me, doesn't sound like me, behave how I do, go to the synagogue when I'm supposed to, do what I'm meant to do, but I still have to regard them as my neighbour and love them. Jesus then shows God's way that perhaps they've missed. And if we're not careful, we'd miss it also. But Jesus lays it out for us in verse 45, because we can miss the intricacies of what happened during the day and think, well, just flippantly, well, they just happen. But that you may be children of your Father in heaven, it says he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God isn't differentiating good from evil when he showers on us daily blessings and sustenance. God is providing for humanity. And we can miss that because we just take it all for granted. And well, maybe we have a little bit too much rain, but somebody at some point has prayed for rain. I'd encourage you to just have a rethink, all right? Just be careful of your wording. occasionally rain, Lord. Amen. And the church said, oh, almost. Oh, clearly we need more rain. Wow. But the reality is that we have to make sure that as we're seeing what God is saying here, that God is showing us the way that we should be living. And verse 46 through 47 really go to explaining the reasoning and the rationale behind this wide-reaching love. And let's just read that together. That you may be children of your Father in heaven, verse 45, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? See the question mark. Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Another question mark. Do not even the pagans do that? So Jesus is saying, look, there's a better way to live. There's a better way to love. That we don't just love people who look like us, who sound like us, who are interested in the same things as we are, but we love people with a way that is very different to what we really know and understand outside of God. We're setting ourselves, church, apart to be on mission for God. And we're looking and discussing that together on Wednesday evenings from 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock for our Bible study. And I'd encourage you to be there, church, that as we get together around the Word, we can start to discuss and pick out these things that are important for us to grow and to learn. That we're on mission for God. That it's His mission, it's not ours. But rather it's His mission and He's tasked us to fulfill it. That Jesus has said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. That He said to us, Matthew 28 as reference, He said to us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. He's saying to us, this is my mission and I'm tasking you with it. Church, we should be enthralled by that. We should be a little bit daunted by the task. But we should be enthralled that God would use people like you and me. And I often refer to Balaam's donkey. I feel like you're almost with me. Because if you can use a donkey, all right, you can use me. Fair enough. Whatever. But God has this love for humanity that He wants all people to come to repentance. He wants all people to acknowledge Him. He wants all people to realize that He loves them enough to have sent His very best in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's tasked us to love on humanity as the church. That is our role, our responsibility, to love our neighbours. Not just you lot, but to love beyond the walls. Amen? To love beyond the boundaries. To love beyond what we think they're going to be and they're going to listen and they're just like me. But to love people beyond all of that. To love them enough to share the gospel. Amen? To love them enough to share life and to do life with them. That we should be involved in growing the kingdom with God in charge as Jesus as the head of the church. The question then that arises from all of that, I think, as a believer, is are we together available? Are we available to do what Jesus is saying here in the Sermon on the Mount? Am I available to love people other than when it fits into my schedule? Am I available to care for people beyond that hour that I give to serve the community? You see, the heart of Jesus here and the heart of God is to love people. And we saw only on Wednesday night as Jesus was heading up to Jerusalem that He still took time out with all that He'd got in mind, knowing that He was going to the cross, that He still took time out to give life to somebody who needed it. Even though He'd got His mind on so much and Jesus was busy, eh? And He still had time for people. Amen? He still had time for people. The question then is, are we loving those around about us? Lord, I'm available. Help me to love. Lord, I'm available. fill me full of grace and compassion. Lord, I'm available that I might reach those people around about me, irrespective, Lord, of how they look or how they sound or what their interests are. But Lord, you would help me to see through all that, to reach them and to bring them into a place where I can share the gospel. Jesus here in Matthew is preaching, yes, to the Jewish nation, God's chosen people, Israel. And I think that what we're seeing this morning is love your neighbour as yourself, and to love your neighbour and pray for your enemies. To do that, I think, careful, but it's easier for us than it would have been for the Jewish nation, because they've forever been set apart as God's people. So they would think, hang on a minute, you want me to do far beyond what you've ever told us to do before. But we as Gentiles, non-Jews, we realise the impact of Christ. We realise the impact of the gospel. And so we're able to latch onto this far easier. Why? Well, because we've experienced it, have we not? We've experienced this love. And it's always easier to pass on love when you've already experienced it. It's always easier. And I've experienced it because by God's grace, some of those people that were listening were indeed faithful. Some of those people that were listening were indeed faithful to send out and to push the boundaries and to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And we're here this morning in Gainsborough because of that. Amen. We're here because they were indeed faithful. And it was easier always for them to talk to a fellow Jew, people that looked and sounded like them, but they saw past all of that and carried the gospel to the ends of the world. And that actually is Gainsborough. Who'd have thought it? We have this privilege then this morning to know that God, all he requires of us is to be available. That's all he requires of us. And he will do the rest. But God, I can't possibly share the gospel with my friend. I can't possibly share the gospel with the person across the road who parks in my place all the time. I can't possibly take time out to love that person who every single morning I seem to meet on the same roundabout and they cut me up every single time. I'm going to love them, Lord. You know, we have to bring it home and realise that our daily situations and circumstances bring about these moments that Jesus is talking about here. To love people enough, to show them love and compassion and kindness. Jesus is teaching us to look beyond all of the usual credentials that we look for, perhaps even subconsciously, but nevertheless, but to reach further, to be bold enough, to be brave enough, to be invested enough, to love the world around about us. And then he finishes with this in verse 48, which we read in the NIV, as I've told you, that's what I'm reading, so that you can go and have a look as well. He says this: be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And sadly, this translation is not accurate. Now, I want to just ask you a question, church. It's rhetorical, so don't answer. Just answer it in your own mind. How's perfect going for you? Now, when I look at that, I think, what on earth is that saying? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I can get the latter part. God is perfection. But I can't be perfect. I mean, I've tried. I failed miserably. You're welcome. But that's the reality, isn't it? But there is actually, church, there is no singular word in the Hebrew for perfect. There is a word for perfection, but there isn't a word for perfect at all. And it is odd when you read it, because the reality is that perfect is far beyond anything that we know we could ever possibly achieve. The Greek translation from this Hebrew word, which is shalem, the Greek translation is teleo, which translates as whole. It translates as being complete. So rather, Jesus is saying at the end of this sermon, which is big, It is a big hitter. Love your neighbour. Okay. But he gives us how, and it's in that verse. But without the right translation, it seems completely and utterly impossible. He says, be whole, therefore, as your heavenly Father is whole. And that changes things massively. Because Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10 says this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness, to complete, to whole. He is the head over every power and authority. Church, the Bible doesn't change its tone. Sometimes we get it wrong with the translation. I'd encourage you, charge you almost. Go back and have a look at the Hebrew and the Greek so that you can see what's going on. And that's why I've said to you before, so often we need to have the Greek and the Hebrew alongside of us. And you can Google that, the Greek and the Hebrew interlinear gives a word for word translation. Because if we don't do that, we can sometimes miss the emphasis. And Jesus here is saying, be whole. And church, we have that opportunity to indeed be whole. How? In and through Christ. That's the only way. The teaching here, as Jesus pushes through the culture of the day, but also forward to King Jesus sharing and showing the ultimate display of love to humanity. As he took upon himself our sin and our shame, he was punished for our sin. In him, church, through him, we can have life. And that is all because of love. So the charge for us this morning is to live on mission for him who first loved us, and church, who has made us whole in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, this morning again, we just want to thank you for your word, Lord, for the opportunity that we've had this morning to just share together, to just learn and to grow. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just continue to shape us and to mold us into what you want us to be. Lord, that we would be on mission for you, that we would be ready to serve you wholeheartedly. Lord, to put our ideas and our philosophy to one side, and to see your plan and your purpose for humanity. Lord, that you might help us to love those around about us enough to share the gospel. So Lord, as we continue in our worship together, we pray, Lord God, that you would just bless us now. We ask this in Jesus' precious name.